Per John's request, I'm going to start a little earlier than 43. I'm going to start in verse 41 this morning as we read John 1, 41 through 46. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. He led him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus wanted to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, Jesus, Joseph's son, from Nazareth." Nathanael responded, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see."
Hymn that Daniel is about to share with us, but we understand is Dr. Martin Luther King's favorite hymn. So let's keep that in mind as we enjoy "Precious Lord, Take My Hand."
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Oh, take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Precious Lord, I love your name. When I look back from whence I came, sometimes stumbling, sometimes falling, sometimes alone. Friends and loved ones I love so dear, many are gone, but I'm still here. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on.
That's what we're talking about, Daniel. Let's see, where to put this? On this weekend of Martin Luther King Day holiday, I'm just honored to be able to bring you a few words in reflection on the gospel of Jesus and on our role in the church and the God's call to move forward with God's plan in our world. And of course, you know, in the context of a beautiful rendition of a hymn like that, where to go next? Of course, you're not going to hear a sermon on the likes of Martin Luther King Jr. But in an effort to coordinate my day job with what I'm called to do here today, I thought I'd start with some news headlines because that's what I do. From Paris, one of the gunmen who carried out last week's attacks that killed 17 people in France has been buried in an eastern French city. City officials said Saïd Kouachi was buried overnight at the demand of the French government. The city had objected out of concern that the grave could become a shrine for extremists. Kouachi was the elder of the two brothers who gunned down 12 people at the offices of the satirical weekly Charlie Hebdo. Johannesburg. As Islamic militants from Boko Haram launch more attacks in Nigeria and continue to slaughter civilians, there is increasing talk that international military action may be necessary to help crush the insurgency in Africa's most populous country. Kabul, Afghanistan. 5 men are under arrest in Afghanistan in connection with a school massacre across the border in Pakistan that killed 150 people, mostly children. Afghan officials say suspects are all foreigners who helped support the December 16th assault by the Taliban. The countries are rivals, but have cooperated more in this case. From Sana'a, Yemen, there's been a high-profile kidnapping in the heart of Yemen's capital. Security officials say gunmen abducted the head of Yemen's office of presidency and two of his guards. The officials say they suspect the gunmen are Shiite Houthi rebels who have seized large areas of Yemen. And same-sex marriage is now officially before the United States Supreme Court. Arguments on a number of appeals of state bans and lower court decisions throwing out the prohibitions are to be held in April and a decision rendered in June. These are some of the headlines in the news in the context in which we come together to worship, some of which is good news, some of which we are rejoicing, some of it is most of which is not all that pleasant. And I personally work in a field where we're telling people stories like this every day. I know that members of our congregation here are people who pay close attention to what's going on in the world. And for those who don't know, I work in public broadcasting, and one of the things we talk about is the core values of our listeners. I suspect that those core values are shared by most of us here. One of those very important core values is that we see ourselves as world citizens. We care about more than our backyard, than our neighborhood, than our city, than our state, even our nation. We're aware and we're constantly thinking of what goes on beyond our world, and we're feeding ourselves with information about what goes on in our world. In the Gospel today, the Gospel of John, we hear Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." In other words, Philip was saying that he and the others had found what we tend in the Christian community to call good news. It may seem like old news to us from the perspective of a couple thousand years since the Gospels and the actions of the Gospels actually took place. But it is significant for us, and it is here today to be fresh news for us. Personally, I've always loved that line from Nathanael, which Justin read so well, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Sounds like something any one of us might say when we're teasing someone from a small town. Anyone here ever done that? And I've looked, and I don't think there's much information about why Nathaniel had that opinion. What was going on there? What was his bias? What was his bigotry or stereotype that he had placed on the people of Nazareth? But there was something going on in the back of his mind that clouded his response to the fact that Jesus had come from Nazareth. Philip's response, his comeback, was a good one. Come, see for yourself. These people don't do things the way we do. Come, see for yourself. They talk a funny language. Come, see for yourself. They eat strange foods. Come, see for yourself. They listen to strange music, worship differently than we do, even play different sports than we. Come, see for yourself. That's what I believe Jesus calls us to do. See for ourselves where others are coming from. Acknowledging, accepting, embracing differences. It's one of the hallmarks of the followers of Jesus. St. Paul, of course, said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. When we don't embrace differences, we see results like the news headlines that I just mentioned. As we gather to worship and pray and break bread together on this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend, it's a time for us to reflect on the work that still needs to be done. Following hundreds of years of slavery and subsequent racial oppression for 100 years after the Civil War, the assassination of the president who issued the Emancipation Proclamation. Many of us in this room lived through a civil rights movement that threatened to once again divide the nation, certainly divided people's hearts and minds as they considered where were we going to go as a nation in the cause of equality and freedom for all people. If you've seen the recent film Selma, despite what we're told are some historical inaccuracies, the film very, very nicely depicts the struggle there, the battle between what we might call good and evil. And there were the people acting out what can easily be described as evil. How could can't be not be determined, not be identified in any other way than evil, beating on children and women, people who are peacefully stepping forward to assert their rights or claim the rights for others. And in the case of some who joined the movement, who were identifying with those who were oppressed. Martin Luther King's father and grandfather, as I understand, were both ministers. Martin apparently was on the path. I guess that's kind of the way it works, Daniel, in the family. That, yes, of course you're going to move into the ministry. And as I understand it, Martin had some youthful moments where he questioned his faith in God. And again, I hear that happens among preachers' kids. But eventually, Martin accepted a call from God. Eventually, Martin heard Jesus say, come, follow me. And the ministry he took on was no doubt very different than the ministry that he thought he was going to get into, at least what his family thought he was going to get into. He had rejected what he had. He had rejected what he had been taught, what he'd been told, until he came to see for himself. And once he saw the need, he was totally convicted in the call from God. He gave it his all. He became, some might say, public enemy number one. The FBI kept an eye on him. Many people in this country hated him for his acceptance of God's call. Following his assassination, he's been essentially canonized as a saint by many people. A saint in honor of civil rights and social justice, and even a national holiday has been named in his honor. But in the midst of it all, I want to remind us all, including myself, that Martin had human failings. And we're not going to go into details, but again, everything we've learned about Martin Luther King, just as we've learned about so many of our leaders that we've revered, we found, oh, this guy was human. We're going to suspect that all was not perfect inside the doors of the household, that Coretta may not have seen him as the great blessing from God that so many others saw. Just as every one of us, I suspect, when we go home to family, we find there are our biggest skeptics, and there are our biggest failings, there are our biggest weaknesses. It's comforting for us to know that we're all in the same boat, as it were. Despite all that, God has a plan for us. I don't want to get too personal here, but my own personal story of having been in the ministry in the Roman Catholic priesthood, having felt a call, and in many ways I was told I was heading that direction from being a very small child. Went that way, followed that call, followed what I thought was that call, and then, you know, made a 90-degree turn and went another direction. And in my 60s, just recently, decided to make another turn. Sure, it's about time. And I have had to come to face the fact that when these things occur in our lives, we need to step back and think, as so many others have thought, this is from God. God has called us. And what God calls us to do, God asks us to do, is not necessarily what we have in mind, what we had in mind, what was in our plan. Our plan gets changed. And that's why we're here. We're here in this community to acknowledge God's plan for us, to acknowledge that God has called us together. And by the way, we heard the news, and I know Pastor Marsha would be the one who'd love to be able to announce this, but we heard news this week that the United Church of Christ has officially designated this congregation as an open and affirming congregation. And I'm honored to be able to say that. That's why we're here. That's what called me here. I found an open and affirming congregation to welcome me. That's how you all are, I would imagine, feeling here today. Following Jesus, following God's call, we're on a journey together. And the question comes up, can anything good come out of Nazareth? In my case, can anything come out of, any good come out of my hometown of Hamilton, Ohio? What about your hometown? Martin Luther King was born in Atlanta, Georgia of 1929. Not a small town. Not a town that in that era one thought was going to be the birthplace of a civil rights movement, of a movement that would change the way of life for millions and millions of people for years to come. Come and see, said Philip. Look what God did. Tremendous strides in our society. Segregated schools were either done away with or integrated. Discrimination in housing, hiring, availability of public accommodations, done away with, illegal. Barack Obama is in the middle of his second term as President of the United States. Yet we still have horrible, horrible racial tensions. We have Ferguson, Missouri, police shootings in New York City, tensions among communities and those who have sworn to protect them. There have been tremendous achievements in civil rights for sexual minorities. 36 states where same-sex marriage is now legal. Positive media portrayals of GLBT persons, and not just in Glee. openly gay political leaders, pastors, elders, trustees, council members, a generally more open and affirming society. And yet, back to the bad news. Just in the last few weeks, a 17-year-old transgender girl committed suicide up in Ohio, walking onto an interstate highway because she couldn't take it any longer. Just last month, a 12-year-old boy committed suicide after being teased and taunted and called gay because he wanted to be a cheerleader. Our society has made wonderful advances in civil rights for people who were once the objects of open and legal discrimination and hate. Yet we have so far yet to go. We have much cause for celebration, but still more than ever, we need to hear Jesus' call to discipleship. Following all the bad news, we rely on the good news of Jesus to inspire and guide our path, both as individuals and as a community and church family.
I have a dream today. If you can accept it, you will leave those state troopers glutted with their own barbarity. If you can accept it, you will do something that will transform conditions here in Alabama. I'm not worried this afternoon, however dark it may be. This nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That is another part of that great statement, yet that scaffold sways the future. It's the strong who can stand up amid opposition, who can stand up amid violence being inflicted upon him and not retaliate with violence. I will not rest until we are able to make this kind of witness in this city so that the power structure downtown will have to say, we can't stop this movement, and the only way to deal with it is to give these people what we owe them and what their God-given rights and their constitutional rights demand. Abused and scorned though we may be, our destiny is tied up with the destiny of America. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm not